Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a number of assignments from Friday, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Greed is so well organized that we call it economic prosperity. Ill will is so organized that we call it defense and we make weapons and war. Ignorance is so well organized that we study about everything except ourselves. I try to decrease the thoughts in my mind. If we stopped thinking, we'd have no problems. The Buddha taught that greed, hate, and delusion make this world of suffering go round. That's often challenging for people to get because those words seem so extreme. We're conditioned to believe the Buddha was pointing at extraordinary events such as world wars or corrupt rulers who amass enormous wealth while their citizens starve. As the quote makes clear, greed, hate, and delusion do so well because they're able to hide in plain sight. And of course, the additional support they receive is that we're conditioned to feel bad and guilty when we see any of those qualities in ourselves. We're trained not to see them, so we won't have to feel bad or guilty. If we don't take egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate personally, we don't have the problems it creates, and compassionate choices are ours to make. Today, notice that a problem disappears each time you stop thinking the thoughts that are creating and maintaining it. Record and listen. November 4th. I have done that, says my memory. I cannot have done that, says my pride, and remains adamant. At last, memory yields. What a perfect example of ego's relationship with ego. Ego accuses ego. Ego defends itself. Back and forth, it battles with itself until finally ego yields and ego wins. Today, watch for that constant battle in subtle and gross forms. Record and listen what it's like to observe ego from awareness. And November 5th, the intelligent man who is proud of his intelligence is like the condemned man who is proud of his large self. Oh, what a wonderful world it would be if we all could get that our privileges are not the result of our brilliant selections. We're familiar with, "There but for the grace of God go I," but no one believes it. I have all of this because I deserve it. I've worked hard. My parents worked hard. We've earned what we have. Yeah, sure, right. And according to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, all those folks who don't have what I have must be lazy or stupid or just don't care. Today, each time you recognize that you're assuming privilege, take a moment to recognize a gift. Record and listen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Big weekend.
Big weekend indeed. All right, here's our first caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana in Alaska.
Hello, Dana.
I seem to have some kind of connection with getting on the show. I call in infrequently, and I think it's 3 or 4 times now I've gotten on the minute I called in.
Well, then maybe you should call in more often.
And maybe, yeah, I probably could get something out of that, huh? All right. So I just recently started doing the daily recollection, and it's wonderful.
Isn't it?
And I guess it really is. And I have a question about one of the lines. When I say it, I'm perplexed. And even though I know that with all the practice I'm doing it, I still feel like it would be helpful maybe to have something more in my mind when I say it. The line is, form is emptiness, emptiness is form.
Okay.
And so
Well, that is probably the biggest conversation in Buddhism. So, and even if we could relate it to one of those three quotes, which we could, if we had enough time to do that. But the easiest, probably the easiest place to step into it is in looking at body and mind are one. Now, in the West, the interpretation of that is along the lines, it'll be the body-mind connection. So body and mind are really heavily influencing one another. But the Buddhist understanding is body and mind are one. They are the same thing. One form, the other emptiness.
So mind is emptiness?
Well, that I'm going to offer that to you as a koan. Because explaining it to you is not going to it's not going to take us anywhere.
Yeah.
And with that question, the place to look is the space between the thoughts.
Yes.
What is mind when there is no content? Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's how I think of it, actually. When I'm doing the work of disidentifying from basically any voice that I hear in my head, there's that quiet emptiness, right? Like, I think of that as being the emptiness, that the conditioning is the form and the emptiness is the compassionate.
Yes, don't limit form to conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because it's also like our bodies.
Or emptiness to what we can think it is. So it's a good place to kind of step into the river. And then really continue your exploration from a well, what now?
Right.
Yeah?
Okay. It feels like a koan.
It is. Absolutely it is. And if we everything is. Right? And if we approach life in that way, then we're constantly being informed. Everything is constantly being illuminated. It's not that we're learning anything, but our experience of awareness is expanding. All right. Well, you have fun now.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Good to hear you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dana. I love what you just said, Sherry, that as long as we're in a place of inquiry, life is just endlessly fascinating.
Yes. Yep, precisely so.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay, well, here's our next caller.
Well, maybe they're trying to unmute. Hang on a sec. It might not just be technology, although, okay, maybe not.
All right, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hello,
hi, Kate. Hello. I just had a little distraction because I had a bird hit my window.
Aww.
And so I, I was attending to him for a minute just to make sure he was in a safe place to see if he can recover.
Just had a headache and, that's so awful. You probably know this, but at the monastery, all the windows are covered with chitenge. I mean, not completely covered, but partially covered. And the reason for it is that at this time of year, around this part of the world anyway, birds gorge on pyracantha berries, and they get drunk. And they just they just go crazy and they fly into everything. So at my house, I have these strips. There, you'll see them, they mark trees that they're going to cut limbs off of or that sort of thing. So I just hung them from the eaves, and they kind of flop around in the wind. They're very lightweight, and so they just blow around in the breeze. And since I put those up, I haven't had a single bird fly into the window. And before that, oh, it was a constant trauma. So
yes.
Just keep something to consider. If you get a nice pink, they're very attractive on the house. But they come in yellow, all the neon colors. So, yeah.
That's great, and that's a good idea. Thank you for that. And I am practicing with putting myself in the queue, and although I, because of that, I don't know that I have, I've kind of lost what I was thinking about, but I will just tell you what I'm feeling right
now.
Well,
that's good, isn't it? That's good. Let's lose what we're thinking about and just
yes.
talk about what's going on right now. Very good.
Yeah, I'm. What I'm noticing in my body is just a little bit of a heart racing and feeling concerned for the little bird.
And do you have a sense of? Let's see. I want to lead the witness without obviously leading the witness. So what happens when something like that occurs? Do you have a sense of what you're told you're experiencing as compared to what you might actually be experiencing, or might they be the same?
Well,
why is it upsetting? You know, the whole world, really, much of the world doesn't care at all about birds. They'll be fine. We can poison everything and have domestic cats that kill them, and you know, they'll be fine. It's not a problem. So what happens when it runs into a window and it's kind of sitting there?
Well, I think what happened initially was just a desire to, like, just a love for the bird. And if there were anything that I could do that could help it, to do that. And I'm having the feeling of, or the person at the bottom of the well right now that we talked about this week. Because what initially happened was felt like more of a with life, you know, that I'd heard that you should put something around it so that it's not vulnerable to being stepped on or an animal getting it, but to not disturb it. And so those things were happening, sort of felt like guided by life. And then the rush of emotion felt like after, and that there was some conversation around that.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of identifying with the bird?
Identifying in a sense of ego identification, or in that?
No,
like,
in the sense of
being more one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part, yes.
You kind of know how it feels to be a person who metaphorically was flying along and ran into something that she didn't know was there and now is devastated and might not survive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can see why... for a lot of folks, it's easier and safer and altogether called better to ignore that person down at the bottom of the well who has these very vulnerable experiences and just kind of put a hard case around the heart so that we don't have those experiences. Then we can just go to, oh, they're fine. You know, there are lots of birds. You know what I mean?
I do. And in that way of feeling the connection and the love with that animal is really profound.
Yes. Yes. It will break a person's heart right open. Which ego sees as a very bad thing. And we
yes.
know it's actually a very good thing. Because we don't want to be separate from life in any form.
Yeah, and sometimes that emotion that, like what I'm, it feels like I'm feeling resistance right now, and it feels like it's like an ego reaction to that deep connection.
Yes. Yeah.
Immediately following.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then wants
yeah.
to
Don't
go
go there.
To suffering. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go there. Stay in the story. Keep your distance. This doesn't have anything. No. Don't do that. And you know, I don't know if you can remember this, but probably being a little kid and having all kinds of life experiences and just feeling them. Completely, and then going on. You know, there's no message of, you know, the kitten dies and you shouldn't feel anything. You should go to your head and be philosophical about kittens dying. You know, if you're a little kid, you just sob and sob and sob and grieve and then go on with your life. But ego has most folks convinced that keeping that distance is what keeps us safe. And I think in a situation like this, we realize that keeping that distance is what keeps us from being fully human.
Oh, that's beautiful put. Yeah, that's a great description of it. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Take care of you and the little bird, huh?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kate. What a moving conversation, Cherry. Deep gusher for that, because I think that is so our experience, that everything that our first impulse is an impulse of experiencing our non-separateness.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so programmed to leave that as something that we should not experience, and that movement of separation is that ego place.
Yes.
And to be able to stay.
Go ahead.
Oh, that the ability to stay in that place is something that I think you were pointing at in conscious compassionate action, right? That what we drop into is a deep place of caring, a deep place of oneness, a deep place of love, and that gets mutated into avoidance or outrage or resentment. And if we recognize that that is the movement away from oneness and do something that returns us to that oneness, which is to be present to our feelings of love or caring, then we're able to act from a place of non-separation rather than a place of separation, which is against
yes.
or opposing.
Yes, yes. And what people hear that causes us to leave presence is that it's too vulnerable. It's too vulnerable to feel so deeply. But only the ego is vulnerable. And if it were framed that way, you know, if we heard, oh, don't, don't go there. That is just too vulnerable for ego. We would say, okay, well, then that's where I want to go. Okay, because I want my heart to be completely open.
Yes, and that could be our practice. It's a great practice suggestion that we, when we feel that way, we frame it that way so we know we want to stay where we are.
Yes, yes, yeah. So vulnerable, yes, yes, that's a great point. If every time we heard vulnerable, we heard ego's vulnerable, then we would know we're heading in the right direction. We were talking with Isota the other day, which is, I got to confirm one of my big issues, loving Italy, as, you know, just loving Italy, and being fascinated by Italian culture and how Italians are, especially coming from a German family, and all of that passionate expression and just feeling things so deeply and expressing those deep feelings. Yeah, and not confusing that with anything else. Okay, it doesn't make us vulnerable to feel deeply and to express our feelings honestly. It makes ego vulnerable.
Yeah. All right, Sherry, shall we hear from our next caller?
Yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Joyce from Sonoma County.
Hello, Joyce.
Good morning. Oh, life is so full, and so many of these, the last few weeks, there have been so many lessons, so many openings. I don't even know how to describe it all. One thing that really worked was the November 2nd. Let's see, what is it? Nothing in life is to be feared. It's only to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something else I was going to talk about this morning. And this kept getting pushed down. So I figured ego was just in fear of my talking about this. It's great fun for children sitting around a campfire to listen to scary stories. And I realized, or there was a realization of this scary, a scary story from when I was maybe 8 or 9, something happened that as a child I did not understand. And what's happened with that scary story is that it's been embellished
yes.
all of my life to
yes.
a huge scary story.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Joyce, which is why I beat on that drum so much about drop all memories. Drop them. Drop them. They have
uh-huh.
nothing to offer us. They never happened. They never happened. So all we're doing is letting conditioned mind retell a story about something that never happened. And they're 99% of the time, actually more, but I'll give it a little wiggle room, only there to upset us.
Oh, so I'm so clear. Yes, yes. And I saw that, and in seeing this, I could see how it not only gave ego that foothold, but then it used it, because within that, if I said something, I would have been a liar. And so at an 8-year-old, I mean, I didn't want to be called a liar. And yet ego kept using that
against me saying, you lied here and da-da-da-da. And then I developed a habit of doing things to prove that I was a liar. Ego got me into this little line of conditioning. So I could see how one incident was like, my grandmother used to crochet, and she would take a piece of thread and make this beautiful, beautiful thing that you put on the table. And there was one piece of thread, and it had these holes, and it had these little knots. And I saw how one story could be disguised as something so beautiful, and yet underneath it was ego. Ego was rotting all of that in me all the time. And
yes.
Yes. Yes, this is true. All of this is true. And the good news is, well, the good news is it's universal. The bad news is this is one incident.
Yes.
Okay, right? So you can see that karma has done this with at least 10,000 incidents where
oh.
It takes it, right, takes it, labels it, and starts building.
And crochets
just
the
like,
universe.
Just like grandma's, that's right, and crochet a universe. Yes, exactly.
A false one.
Yep.
And,
yep.
But, and then this morning, as Ashwini was reading from over the weekend, it dropped in that ego is just a bully. Ego has conversations with itself, and it beats itself up and defends itself and does all of this. And it's keeping this person watching that and believing it becomes the audience that ego is bullying.
Well, and to use, Joyce, to use another image from this week, the human being is the person down at the bottom of the well.
Yes.
Right? And so all this drama is going on up at the top with the cameras and the news people and all of this, as ego says, oh, my God, and it's awful, and this happened to me, and that happened, and I don't know, and there's the person down at the bottom of the well. So that, to me, is a helpful image for how not in touch we usually are with the person. So if we go back to our conversation with Kate, there's probably somebody very young who is in touch with the bird and the feeling of the, you know, can feel what happened to the bird as it ran its little
yeah.
head into that brick wall. And that, there's the person at the bottom of the well, because then ego has covered that over, covered it over, covered it over, covered it over, covered it over, covered, you know, into this giant crochet of the universe. And that person is just left abandoned.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right.
And what got the thing that has arisen is that is seeing ego as a bully just ticks somebody off inside. And because bullying is just woo.
Well,
and
Joyce, let me stop you right there and be careful.
Okay.
Because
yes.
that who gets ticked off at the bully could be an ego gets on ego and ego bullies ego, and then ego gets
yes.
ticked off, and yeah. So be careful about that. Just notice. Just stay in awareness and watch the whole drama. Because from awareness, you're not in any danger. Now, I know we have
Oh, thank
to dash.
You.
So, yeah.
Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
That's
all right.
Oh, deep gratitude.
Gratitude. You get to watch from the bleachers.
Yes.
Just watch the contest from the bleachers and then know that you can leave anytime you want.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. And that brings us to the end of another show, Sherry, and here's our assignment for the day.
Okay.
I can't believe that, said Alice. Can't you? The queen said in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes. Alice laughed. There's no use trying, she said. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, said the queen. When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why? Sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. How many impossibly ridiculous things have they been conditioned to believe? We most likely couldn't make a guess that would come close. In awareness practice, we're constantly encouraged to ask ourselves, is that so? And how do you know that? But the deadly aspect of beliefs and assumptions is that we can't see them. We don't know they are there. And when one is revealed, when we're in the shock of immediate recognition, the voices of conditioning leap to begin a recovery campaign, explaining, rationalizing, deflecting, and denying. Today, listen to the voices in conditioned mind explaining and rationalizing as you question their assertions. Record and listen.
It's a bad time for ego, isn't it?
It is indeed.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Take care, Sherry, and talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.